Well, in my haste of leaving the house, I left my Bible, which is a horrible thing for a preacher to do, but I found one, so we're good. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. And tonight I want to speak to you about the delightful gift of Christmas. Now, around Christmas time, one of the main things that we think about is gifts, right? Especially as children, and my daughter is thinking a lot about gifts nowadays. So I'm going to give her a lump of coal. But she's looking at things and always asking if she can have gifts. But I don't know if you ever had a time around the Christmas tree where there was a forgotten gift. There was a gift, all the presents had been opened, but there was one gift that was hidden back behind the trunk of the tree or on the back. It got hidden somehow and nobody saw it. It was a forgotten gift. Tonight, as we enter into this Christmas week, as we're in this Christmas holiday, I look around me and I see that there is a gift that has been forgotten, by and large, by people within this country. We have become sidetracked by the decor, the presents, the shopping, the longing for unity and family. But under this tree, so to speak, is a gift. And if you look at the tag at this forgotten gift, it says, to us. There is a gift that has been forgotten, and it says that it is to us. I spoke to a woman the other day about Christmas, and she said that she was excited about her house being decorated, and she loved to decorate, but she told me she hated to shop. Of course, there's people who hate to decorate and love to shop. And everybody, of course, wants family time, a family with unity, right? You have this nostalgic picture of families that are brought together during Christmas time, which isn't always the case. So we have this conception, this idea in America that this is what Christmas is about presents, about the decorations, the lights, the festivities. And this is the message, the gift that this world has for us during Christmas. But what about those who don't have a home to decorate? What about those who don't have the resources to shop? What about those who don't have families that are in unity? In fact, many of you have families that are very broken and need much healing. This American vision of Christmas does not speak anything to these people, to us, to most of us here. But the message and the gift of Christmas, a delightful gift that God gives to us, must be remembered, must be opened, it must be used. Let's look at this gift in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. And I'm just going to read the whole passage tonight, and I'm not going to walk through this passage in it. This is an interesting message for me. I hope it goes okay, so pray for me. But read with me this passage, and if you don't get anything out of what I say, this word can speak to you. So hear these words. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Verse 2, we speak of a people walking in darkness, of those living in the land of the shadow of death. It doesn't take but to open up the newspaper to see that we live today in America in a land of death. Shootings across the country, from Aurora to Oakland to Wisconsin, and last week to the innocent children in an elementary school in Newtown. Our country is a land of death, a land of darkness. We are a people who sit in darkness. Birmingham, in the past month, the mayor gets in a shootout, right? This past weekend, or in the past week, there were two shootings. The police had to shoot two gunmen, one at St. Vincent's Hospital. Murders by the thousands over a year, right, in Birmingham. Birmingham being the top three most dangerous city in America. Top 20 list of murders. We live in a very dark land. In a land of darkness that needs light. What is the message of Christmas from the American vision of Christmas that I spoke about to this land of darkness? It can speak nothing. But the message of God to this land in darkness, is that He is sending His light. He is bringing light into this world. So we look in the newspaper and we see these horrible instances of murder. And we don't have to just sit with murder. There's rapes and just all sorts of atrocities within our land, within our homes. Children being molested and hurt and harmed and abused and even killed. Why? We get woken up to the question of why with the Newtown incident, with the killing of innocent children. Why is this happening? And we go back into the Bible and we find right from the very beginning that God shows us that there's a problem. The problem in our world in which we have witnessed most palpably in these incidents comes from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve told God that they would rather be like Him than to walk with Him. And they placed humans in control of this world apart from God. The whole foundation of the creation of God had made good was shaken to its core. And it is to this source, the disobedience of Adam and Eve, the choice to place themselves in the stead of God, and the wickedness in which we find ourselves in this age, in this very, very godless age. All the violence of the last several thousand years, and today in America is not the only dark place. We can look around the whole world and see that there is darkness throughout this world. We look in Syria and North Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan, Venezuela, Mexico. We don't have to look far to see that this world is a world in darkness, and we are in need of great light. And this is the message. This is the gift of Christmas to this world, that unto us who live in darkness, a child is born, that we will see a great light. This is our gift, that unto us who live in a dark land, the light will shine on us. And this light, this child, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. And if we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. This is what Jesus says in John 8, verse 12. But in John 1, verse 5, it speaks of Jesus coming, becoming flesh. It says that the light, Jesus, shines in the darkness of this world, but the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness did not receive the light. But then in verse 12 it says, but to those who have received the light, to those who have received him, to him he gave the right to become children of God. To be enlightened, to bring light into this dark world, to bring light into the dark caverns of our soul. The answer to the world's problems has come, but this world has not received him. Have you received him? So we walk in darkness. We walk in a land of darkness here in Birmingham in the United States, in this land. But there's a delightful gift that God has given us for Christmas. That God so loved this very dark and sinful, wicked world that he sent his Son on to us. See, God sent his Son on a rescue mission. Matthew chapter 18, it says that the Son of God, Son of Man, I think it says, came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then Jesus talks about how if you had 100 sheep and one goes away, you're going to leave those 99 just to get that one. And this is exactly what God is doing. He's sending his Son to get those who have strayed, who have walked away, to those who have walked in darkness, who need this light. He's on a rescue mission. Unto us. On to me. I want you to think that. On to Jake. I want you to fill in your name there. On to me. The Son has been given. He loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his Son to save us and to redeem us. And we have a God seen in the fact that God became flesh. God came down to live among us. That we have a God who wants to be with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is God with us. The delightful gift of Christmas is that though we were like wandering sheep, a son was given to us to rescue that which was lost. This is the delightful gift of Christmas, that if God did not give up on this world, though fast bound in sin and nature's night, then he will not give up on the sinful hearts of you and me. But unto us, the sinful hearts that we have, unto us a son is given. The delightful message of Christmas is that though the nations have defiantly raged against their God, he would not sit in the heavens laughing forever, but would come to them and reign as the King of Kings and as the Prince of Peace, as we read in this text. And if he came to them, how much more does he come unto us who have raged against him within our own hearts? This is the delightful gift, the delightful message of Christmas, that though his chosen people were obstinate and stiff-necked, and they rejected the leadership of God, he came even to them. And if he came even to them, then he will not give up on us, though we're obstinate and stiff-necked. He comes on to us. The delightful gift, excuse me, the delightful gift of Christmas is that though by Jesus all things were created, it says in Colossians, both in the heavens and on the earth, he's the creator of all things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. Though he is the creator, it says in Philippians that he emptied himself of this creatorness, this godness, taking the form of a bondservant, taking on the likeness of men. And he came on to us. This is the gift that this world has, that we reject, that we've forgotten, that's left under the tree for another to come and pick up. This is the gift that we have, a God who would come unto us and a God who wants to be with us. Emmanuel. The delight of the gift of Christmas is that he did not cling to equality with God, but he became a man like you and me. That he was pleased as man with men to dwell, as the hymn says. That some 2,000 years ago he would be born unto us, not in a palace, but in a barn. That he would be laid by his mother Mary, not in a royal cradle, but a feeding trough for animals. And if the God of heaven can make his home in human flesh, he can make his home with us. That if he was laid in a manger of smelly, earthy animals, he could make his home in our smelly, earthy temples. That if he could walk the dusty, dung-filled roads of Galilee, he could walk with you and me. That if he could endure the impetuous self-righteousness of the Pharisees, he could endure your and my self-righteousness. That if he could teach for several years rough-handed, block-headed fishermen, he could teach you and me. That if he could dine with sinners, he might just dine with you and me as sinners too. That if he could talk with STD-infected prostitutes, touch the contagious lepers, enter the caves of demoniacs, he might talk with you and me, touch and heal you and me, and drive out the demons within you and me. That if he could stand in quiet innocence before disdainful accusers, endure the thorns of a sham crown upon his brow, receive the stripes of a shard-tipped whip, and take upon his hands and his feet the nails made of the sin of the world, then the delightful gift of Christmas is that God loves us. And he has come unto us. That he wants desperately to be with us. And that whoever believes on him will not perish with this dark world, but will have an eternal, joyful, and peaceful life. A life where this God, it says in Revelation, will wipe away all the tears from our faces. A place where we will cry out, "Behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." This will be a day when, as the hymn says, he will no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to this dark land to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. the curse, which we began in Genesis chapter 2, in our disobedience with God, is spread throughout this land. But he wants to reverse this curse. He wants to bring his blessings upon this dark world. He has come for the very reason that Newtown happened. Because he does not want that to happen. He grieves that his people have chosen to live in such a violent manner, to live in a disobedient manner. He has come for that very purpose. And he came obediently, it says in Philippians chapter 2, even to the point of death and death on a cross. Those first graders in Newtown were innocent children. They did nothing wrong, nothing to be killed, right? But even more so, Jesus was innocent. He was pure. He was the only person in this world who has walked in this land without sin. There is no reason for him to be put to death, except this world has rejected the light. But he has come for this purpose, that even though his light has been rejected, there might be a few who receive his light. That this light might be spread throughout the world. That the joy, the gift of Christmas is that he has come to bring light into this world. Light into places like Newtown and Aurora, and places like Wisconsin where shootings have happened. Light into our broken families. Light into our wounded souls. This is the message of Christmas. This is the unopened gift of Christmas. I want to close tonight with a poem that I came across, and considering the darkness of this land, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, a man from the 1700s, wrote a poem that speaks very well to our situation right now in this Christmas season where much of the nation is mourning over the loss of these children. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. This is a world in darkness, but the darkness will not prevail. The light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, will make all things right. He is the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, this child who has been born unto us. Let's pray.